just turns it on. I think I got it. All right, we're going to look at Father Abraham this morning. See what we can learn from Father Abraham. However, we're not going to start out in Genesis. We're headed for Romans 4 after I get done with my opening remarks here. I'd like to take some time to look at Father Abraham this morning, and we're not going to fall into the ditch of replacement theology. Go ahead and make that right up front, because I am going to go to make that point right up front. I am going to talk a great deal about Abraham being our example, being our father, us being the seed of Abraham. But when I say those things, I don't mean we've replaced Israel. Both things are true. Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. And there are a set of promises that go along with them. The fact that I'm the seed of Abraham, that doesn't disannul the promises, to quote Paul. So don't worry about that. I'm not headed that direction. That's not where the lesson is going to wind up. But I'd like us to get some light from Abraham, and I'm going to spend a little bit of time here in the New Testament just showing how much that the Holy Spirit wants us to realize that. How many times Abraham is mentioned in the New Testament here? He's referred to over 70 times in the New Testament. That's a pretty significant number, the man Abraham, referred to 70 times in the New Testament. He's mentioned over 30 times in the Gospels, and I know a couple of those mentions are by the Pharisees and the scribes. But even in those cases, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't rebuke them for bringing up Abraham. He was glad they brought up Abraham. Matter of fact, he pointed out that they were not acting like Abraham. He said, you want to stone me for telling you the truth. That's what Jesus told him. He said, this did not Abraham. And so Abraham's a good example. He's our example. And he's mentioned another 30 times by the Apostle Paul. He's mentioned by Peter in the book of Acts. He's mentioned by Stephen in the book of Acts. James in the book of James. And again, mentioned by Paul over 30 times in the epistles that the Holy Spirit allowed Paul to write. So we're just going to take a little time here. And you know me, I'm going to try to go slow. I have a tendency to try to rush. I'm going to try to slow down. We're just going to look at some scripture here. I'm going to get out my old man readers. We're just going to look at some verses here and take some time and expound on some of these verses. And we're going to start here in Romans chapter 4 and verse 11. Where the Bible says, and he received the sign of circumcision, that he hears Abraham, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised. The Holy Spirit here, through Paul, the book of Romans here, making the point that Abraham is our father, those of us that have been saved, he's our father, and he received this faith, he received this righteousness being yet uncircumcised. That circumcision is the seal of Abraham, and it's that sign to the nation of Israel, right? And the Holy Spirit making the point here that Abraham was the father of faith before the sign of circumcision, right? And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, the past tense, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Showing that what we already know, those of you that are Bible readers, the Bible tells us, and we'll get to that scripture, that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, just like you and I got in. We believed the account of the gospel, and we asked the Lord to save us, we received that righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we're justified. The righteousness that might be imputed unto them also. Then verse 12, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham. And that's you and me, when we're walking by faith, when we're living right, when we're doing right, when we're in our Bible, when we're in prayer, when we're attending church, when we're treating people the way we ought to treat people, following the Lord, sowing the seed of the Word of God, being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we're doing those things, we're walking the way Abraham walked. And he's called our father here. And some Baptists out there that don't read their Bible, they may say, call no man on earth your father. That's right, in a religious context. But Paul refers to himself as a father with respect to people that he led to the Lord. It's just a totally different thing than than Catholicism. Oh, I'm getting tongue-tied. Totally different thing than Catholicism there. And here the Holy Spirit's telling us that Abraham's our father. If you're walking the way Abraham walked, believing God, obeying God. Verse 13, for the promises that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. See, my opening comments, my opening remarks were about the difference between us and Israel, right? We're not replacing Israel. This is there's some promises for Abraham that went toward Israel, and there's some promises that went towards us, the people that got saved, and literally, quite really, to his seed, which is Christ. But through the righteousness of faith, right? It's not the Old Testament law. It's not keeping the law. It's not keeping a set of rules. It's not doing enough good works to get to heaven. It's nothing like that. It's through faith. And faith is, as we know, it's a believing response to the Word of God. And it's a believing, I would go as far to say, a believing reaction to the Word of God. It's obeying what God has told us. And God didn't tell us what God told Noah. For Noah, faith was build the ark. God said, build the ark. Noah built the ark. For us, it's believe the gospel, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They're both faith. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. In verse 16 here, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that what also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now let's look at Hebrews before we go back to Genesis. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Brother Dilbert's been going through each book of the Bible about our inspired library, and how history is recorded in a way that to reveal light to us, to show us what God's been doing, show us the future, show us about Jesus Christ. Jesus said himself, he said of the Old Testament, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. And so let's just look at the similarities between Abraham, what happened to Abraham here, and our story. Looking at Abraham as an example, let's just realize for just a moment, Abraham's story is not that much different from our story. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8 here. I need to do something funny. I was looking at chapter 8. Hebrews 11, 8, where the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place he should hereafter receive for an inheritance, obeyed. You see anything there? What I'm trying to get you to do, maybe I didn't set this up enough, I'm trying to get you to think of your own story. Think about you. Think about you getting saved. Think about what's happened after you've been saved. And I'll read it again. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should hereafter receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Amen, brother. I like it when somebody giggles. I know they're with me. That's the way. Anyway, get sidetracked there. We're called out. I'm up here right now. I feel like a goose in a horse race. I think a lot of us do. We get up here. But that's what we're called to. We're called out of this world. We're not to be walking the way this world walks. I mean, we've got to be in the world. We've got to reach them. We've got to go where they are and get them and all those things. But we're called out of this world. We're called to a country. We got a country coming that we're looking forward to that they don't know anything about. And let's just keep reading here. And he went. Oh, well, let me make one more comment before I move on. It also reminds me of the message I preached here a couple years back about God's gracious memory. Lord willing, we're going to get to Genesis chapter 12, and you're going to see that this is a very, very gracious account of Abraham's beginning. Abraham, like me, and I assume like you, was a little bit slow learning the lesson of faith. He was a little bit slow getting to where he trusts God. He was slow obeying God, and we're hopefully getting to get there. We'll look at the danger of halfway obedience. But right here, it just says Abraham went out. It's not what happened. And I'm thankful for the Lord's grace. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. And when he looks at my first 15 years of ministry, I'm hoping he can say something like that. You and I know the truth. But the Lord's good. I'm so thankful for the economy that we're under, that we don't have to work. We don't have to earn our way. That God can look at us and he can see the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what he sees when he looks at us. And I think that's the record of Hebrews 11 here. A lot of these men, when you look at what's said about them in Hebrews 11, when you look at the Old Testament record, it's a gracious account, Hebrews chapter 11 is. I mean, a little hope for the judgment seat of Christ, right? Okay, middle of verse 8. I'm just going to start at the beginning of verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should hereafter receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. I know that feeling. You know that feeling? I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm planted. But there was a time I didn't know where I was going. You know, I thought I was called here. I thought I was called there. I'm thankful to know a little bit more now as I get further along my journey. But I know the feeling. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And that's us. We're pilgrims, and which I've already mentioned at the start of verse 8 there. But that's us. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're supposed to be just passing our time here with everything focused on the future, with what's coming after the rapture, which what's coming after we go to face the Lord. Because that's going to be the bulk of the time, right? I mean, we had a beginning, and we get this life, and it's just a fraction. It's just, I mean, it's just a piece of a decimal point, I mean, in comparison to all of eternity. So we should live this life now, but this way, knowing that we are just sojourners, we're just passers, just pilgrims, just passers through. And that's Abraham's story. It's what God called him out to. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's the definition, to me, that's the definition of somebody, of a spiritual person. Somebody that is their focus. They are looking at the judgment seat of Christ, and they are looking at eternity, and they live their lives now in the light of that, in the light of that truth. They are consumed with this truth that this is just a short life, and I'm headed for a judgment seat of Christ, and I'm going to spend eternity based on the Lord Jesus Christ, but the judgment seat of Christ will come out based on what I did here. And so that is the mark of a spiritual person. And again, Abraham is a good example, or at least he is toward the end. He's a comforting example at the beginning because I can see myself in the doubts and the failures. And so hopefully I'll get there too someday. Have faith like Father Abraham, right? Let's see here. Let's keep going. Verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. What's that sound like? You may have to dig a second on that one. What does that sound like for you? That sounds a lot like a new birth, doesn't it? Being born again, that's a miraculous birth. Sarah passed the age of conception. Abraham, body dead according to the scriptures. A miracle birth. Miracle birth. And that's how you got in. That's how I got in. Being born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12, you can just see this, our story all the way through here, and you can see the story of the gospel in here. It's just amazing. The scriptures are so amazing. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died. Well, let me stop a second in verse 12. And that's the story of the new birth, right? I mean, just thousands and thousands throughout the years getting saved. Thousands and thousands throughout the years getting saved. And just a great body of Christ, the church, that just a miracle. A miracle. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. How about that? That's high ground. That's high ground. And that they did that back then, right? I mean, we're not even into the law yet, chronologically here. This is Abraham before he received the sign of circumcision, just following the Lord. And probably, well, no, we're a little bit further along at this point, but at the start of his walk, the Lord had only spoke to him a couple times. And just to have the faith to follow the Lord. I mean, Abraham saw God and talked to God, and just to spend the rest of his life just looking for God, trying to find God, trying to follow God, trying to obey God, to spend his whole life that way based on that, and grew in faith because of that. And you and I, we've got the Word of God right here. Now, for Abraham, he spoke to God, according to the Apostle Peter, which we'll get to later, if not now, next hour. This is the Word of God to us, and according to Peter, it's better than the voice of God. We got it, and we leave it set around, and we don't read it. All those things, it's a shame. And Abraham here, he's spent his life, knew this was coming. According to the text here, knew it wasn't even for him. He knew there was a seed coming that was going to bring in salvation, and he wasn't even going to get to see it. And even based on all that, even because of that, he still lived his life following God and as a pilgrim. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Verse 15, and truly if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Bring it back to yourself. Hopefully this is not yourself. I mean, I know that happens to some extent all the time, turning back to the old ways, right? But maybe you've got a friend or a loved one that has turned back to the world. And it's just pointing out this opportunity that Abraham had here, right? I mean, take a shot at the Calvinist right now, I guess, right? They say if you're really saved, you'll live it. And that's not true. You've got the opportunity. You've got the free will. You've got the choice. You can go back. Glory to God, it won't affect your salvation. You're eternally secure. But as far as your life now, you can sure mess it up. You can go back to the old ways if you choose. I'm glad Abraham didn't. He's a good example for not. And by the grace of God, it'll be us. Stick with it. Stay with him. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country that isn't heavenly. And that's talking about that being heavenly minded, like I was talking about a minute ago. Why would you turn back? The book of Proverbs, I'm pretty sure it's Proverbs, yeah. Likens it to a dog returning to his vomit. I know that's pretty rough for a first thing in the morning. I don't know if you've had breakfast yet. But that's what a saved person's like. That just goes back to the old life. He got all that out of his life and looks back over his shoulder at it. So I think, that looks good. Can you imagine? That's what it's like. That's what it's like for a Christian just to get somebody just to get saved and taste and see that the Lord's good. And get a taste of the heavenly life, you know, the fruits of the Spirit now, and to look back at that old life and think, that looks good. God help us not to be that way. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. What a blessing, right? That reminds you of yourself. I'm getting into my message this here in an hour, but that's what Jesus said. He said he's going to prepare a place for us. He's went to prepare a city for us, and he's going to come back and get us. And Abraham was looking for that city in his day. He was looking for that in his day, and it controlled the way he lived. And that's what faith is. That's what faith is. Faith is allowing the Word of God to control the way you live now, the way you live, the way you walk every day. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And there's the shining spot. I hope to have a couple of them. I hope to. That's one where the record here in Hebrews matches the record in Genesis. It says here that by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he received him, and he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son. Now that'll remind you of a lot, man. That passage right there is loaded, won't it? God the Father giving his only begotten son. But also as a man, right, really we're looking at the example of Abraham for us today. As a man, Abraham got to a point in his life where he trusted God so much that when God said, offer me your son, didn't blink an eye. And that's what I mean about it matching the record of Genesis. Lord willing, we'll get there. Yeah, we still got plenty of time. When God asked for Isaac, there was no hesitation. You don't see it in the passage anyway. Woke up early, headed off, took everything necessary, and just absolute confidence. Even when Isaac was getting nervous, right? They're getting ready to go up the mountain alone, just the two of them, and Isaac's looking around and says, "Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham just says, "God shall provide Himself a sacrifice." Man, that's a lot of stuff there, a lot of preaching there. But with regards to us, with regards to our walk of faith, that's where we're headed. I hope that's where I'm headed. To where no matter what God tells me to do, no matter where God sends me, no matter what God asks of me, just to be just cool as a cucumber and just going. That's the example. And that's why Abraham should be our father. He's our father in that he should be our example, and also he's our father in that he was in our example of faith here. Almost done in Hebrews here. Verse 18, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And that's what Abraham was doing. He was holding to the promise. He knew that the promise was wrapped up in Isaac. And if God was asking for Isaac life, then God was going to have to resurrect Isaac, because God had already promised that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. And that's why there was no sweat there on behalf of Abraham. And that's why there are people that try to point this out as a terrible thing by God. They're just grasping at straws. That's all they're doing. This is not a terrible thing that God asked. God testing Abraham's faith. Never intended him for him to offer up the boy. He wanted you and I to see where Abraham had gotten. Right? Abraham, I don't even know if Abraham realized where he was, but God knew. God's looking at the heart of Abraham, and he knows Abraham's heart at this point. And to reveal it to maybe Abraham, and for sure to reveal it to us, he commands this instance here, this offering up of Isaac. And Abraham didn't bat an eye. What that is somebody that has exercised faith on a daily basis, every day, every decision, for everything, from the time you wake up to the time you close your eyes and sleep at night. Everything you do, you're doing in faith. You're making decisions based on what the Word of God says for everything. And if you'll do that, and you'll see God bless and see God protect and see God answer those things and protect you and watch over you and bless you in those things, By the end of all of that, you'll get to where Abraham was, to where even something like this wouldn't faze him. Well, then in verse 19 there, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And again, this is great. I know you've heard it preached a bunch. I preached it a bunch. That scene there of the offering up of Isaac and the ram being caught in the bushes by his horns. Just a beautiful picture of the offering up of the Lord Jesus Christ. God providing himself, like he said, a sacrifice. And of course, that's what was said of Jesus by John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Lastly, let's look at Galatians here, before we go back to the record in Genesis. Galatians chapter 3. This is how much that the Holy Spirit's putting emphasis on the life of Abraham here is our example. This is the third place, and this is by far not, this is not exhaustive as far as references to Abraham in the New Testament. Like I said, over 70. Galatians chapter 3 here, and if I don't drag it out too much, we're going to cover the whole chapter. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, for whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. And again, the theme of the book of Galatians here, the Holy Spirit is pressing upon Paul to write to the church of Galatians. They had some people come in that were teaching that you had to keep the law to stay saved, and that's a damnable heresy. And so the Apostle Paul has to address that here in the book of Galatians, and that's the overriding tone of the book of Galatians. But verse 2, this only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. I said that so you, that verse makes sense there. He's addressing the problem of a bunch of Christians that have all of a sudden decided, okay, I got saved by grace through faith, but now I got to live it to stay saved, which is not right. And that's what's being corrected here. He's saying he's bringing up this idea. How did you start that way? Did you do some sort of a work? Did you keep some sort of a set of rules to get saved? No, of course you didn't. And if you didn't do anything to get saved, why do you think you have to do anything to stay saved? Verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And we get to Abraham in verse 6 here in this context. The Holy Spirit using Abraham as an example in this case. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And that's us. We believe the gospel, ask the Lord to save us, and we get the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now in the context, he's trying to make the point. You think you're going to perfect your Christianity, your walk with the Lord by keeping a set of rules. You're being foolish. Abraham, as the father of faith, that was before the law. That was when Abraham was a Gentile, if you will. Before the mark of circumcision is when Abraham got this. So this is that's the reference here in the context. Verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. And that's just, I love that. The scripture foreseeing, it's hard not to stop and chase a rabbit there. That scripture you got in your lap, it's a miracle. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And what we're pointing out here with regards to the lesson this morning is that the Bible, God knew that what was going to happen in the end about the Lord Jesus Christ, how God was going to become flesh and offer himself up. He knew all this. And when he preached the gospel to Abraham, when he said, in thee all nations will be blessed, he's talking about in Christ, which is the seed. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 12 there, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Boy, that's a blessing. They're really talking about our liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, being free from those things. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made, I already read that verse 14 now. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it, no man addeth thereto. Verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And this is what I mentioned a minute ago, talking about the seed being Christ. You see there it's seed singular. Finish verse 16 here. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. I like it when the Bible does that. I'm terrible with figuring out years. I like when the Bible just tells me. That's what we're talking about here, talking about following faith, Abraham being the father of faith. These events we're talking about when Abraham got these promises, it was 430 years before the law even came into being. And the verse here, verse 17, says that law cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. Verse 18, for if the inheritance of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. In other words, God didn't tell Abraham, you do this and this and this and keep all this and I'm going to bless you. He said, no, you come out, I'm going to bless you. Therefore, verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? Again, back to the subject of the book of Galatians. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. talking about the law being put in place because they're a bunch of sinners like we are. God put the law in place until Christ would come in due time. Was made, end of verse 19, was made and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. That reminds you of anything? Thirsty this morning. What does the Bible say about Christ? There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 21, is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law, get to the if in here. I always think of Andy Griffith. This early episode there, he said, you're interrupting me in the middle of my if-ing. If there had been a law given, which could have given eternal life, which there's not, verily righteousness should have been by the law. In other words, if any set of rules could have done it, the law could, but they couldn't. That's why Christ had to come. Verse 22, but the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But therefore, faith came. But before faith came, rather, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, just like Abraham. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Again, back to the subject of the chapter, really. Just trying to illustrate to this church, you're not gonna keep your salvation by a set of works, any set of rules. Verse 26, for ye are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. Where there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Heirs of faith according to the promise that was given to Abraham, the promise of the seed, which is Christ. And again, here we're told we're children of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. That is, if you're Christ, you're out there and you're not saved, none of this applies to you. You need to get saved. Those of us that are saved, we've got promises, we've got stuff to look forward to, and we've got the Word of God here to guide us day by day. And that's what we're being admonished to this morning, is to follow this, follow the Word of God, and in doing so, follow God, and walk in faith, as Abraham was our example. All right, with all that, let's get out of the introduction, get to Genesis chapter 12. Drop her in high gear a little bit here. I won't be able to read as much as I have been reading. Again, talking about following an example of faith and following the man Abraham here, the Old Testament man Abraham, and learning some lessons that he learned the hard way. Maybe you've not learned these lessons the hard way. Maybe you can learn them this morning right here from the Word of God. But we're going to start out here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, where the Bible says, and now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. Now, every word and every tense of a word is important in the Bible. The Lord had said, past tense. This is not being said in chapter 12. That's what had been said before. And so the command is here, and the command is twofold, right? Leave your country and leave your father's house, or leave your kin. That's the command. And who's it to? It's to Abraham, right? And that's why I said that the God's gracious memory in Galatians, or in Hebrews chapter 11 there. What did Hebrews 11 say? He said he went out and just took off. Oh, Abraham just took off, right? Because he believed God, and he just set out. Look at chapter 11, verse 31. Bible says, and Terah, which if you read up a few more verses, you'll find out it's Abraham's father. And Terah took Abraham, his son. Were you drugged to church as a youngin? I don't know about Terah. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about Terah. I'm not even sure I'm pronouncing the name right here this morning. I don't know a whole lot about him, but apparently Abraham must have told him what God told him. And apparently Abraham wasn't going anywhere, and Terah just said, all right, let's go. Grabbed him by the ear and took off, right? Apparently, I mean, I'm maybe reading a little bit into that, but that's what you see happen here. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's, Abraham's wife. It's Abram here. It's changed to Abraham later. I'm not going to put a great deal of effort into, I may say Abraham a lot when it actually says Abram here. And they went forth, and with them from Ur of the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan. And they came unto Haran and dwelt there. All right, so you see the command in chapter 12, verse 1. You see the command. It's to Abraham. It's for Abraham to leave, to get out of his country, and to get out of his father's house. And what you see here is partial obedience. And I know this message has been preached. I know. But we're 2,000 years late in this game to be original. Trying to learn about the faith of Abraham and follow in Abraham. Let's look at some of Abraham's mess-ups here, right? What this is here, you know, when I've heard it said a lot of times, I think I've said it preaching it. I know I preached this at Wall Builders, at least this part of it, not the previous part. But we a lot of times refer to this as partial obedience. But in studying for this morning, I'm not sure there was any obedience here, right? He's told twofold to leave his, for him, well, kind of threefold, it's to Abraham, right? Not to his father, not to Lot, it's to Abraham. And he's told to leave his country and to leave his father's house, his kin, as we would say in the South, kindred there in the scripture. And he does, none of that happens. None of that. Terah, Abram's father, grabs him. They leave. We see no obedience there. And what do you see? You see him land in Haran, right? Talking about the old preacher, Dr. Ruckman, and a lot of old preachers, they would say that light rejected becomes lightning. And that's where I wanted to get to this morning with regard to following Abraham, right? I want you to be thinking about yourself, and I want you to be thinking about what God has put on you. Right, and I know some things God's told you to do. Right, God's told you to be a Bible reader. God's told you to be somebody given to prayer. God's told you to be the light of the world. It means being a witness. It doesn't necessarily mean being a preacher like up here preaching, but you're to be the light of the world. You're to carry the gospel to the world. I know God's put all of those three things on you, even if you don't know that yet. Maybe you're just somebody in here just got saved, or somebody listening that just got saved yesterday. You didn't know any of those things. Well, there you go. Now you're accountable. Those are things that the Bible puts on all of us. Anybody that's saved, you're to be a Bible reader, you're to be given to prayer, and you're to be the light of the world, Jesus said. And so those three things are put upon you, and there is the danger in no obedience. There's a danger in partial obedience. Take just a second here just to point out that not every flat tire, not every sickness is because of your disobedience. I can think of things, I could bring up things right now that have me crying. And I'm just convinced that I know wasn't the judgment of God. This world is a sin-cursed world, and sometimes bad things happen just because this world is cursed with sin. That being said, there are some flat tires, and there are some hard times that come, and what it is, it's the grace of God. It's God being good to you and me when we have hard times, some of them, because God's trying to get your attention. You're headed for a ditch. Through disobedience, you're headed for a ditch, and you're headed for ruin. And so sometimes some trouble will come your way to make you look up and to remember God and get back on the right track. And you see that here with Abraham, right? And it happens here right at the start. And look at verse 32. The Bible says they went halfway, I guess. I don't know. I'm not very good at geography, especially geography from thousands of years before I was born. I guess Haran is along the way. They were headed to Canaan. They didn't get there. They stopped at Haran. And look at verse 32. In the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So, I'm convinced. Now, I know the Lord. I mean, I don't know. I guess I shouldn't say I know. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. Josh was trying to tease me Wednesday night about me having to lead singing. I said, brother, I made my peace a long time ago with doing stuff I'm not good at. I'll get up here and lead singing. But anyway, I am convinced. I'm looking back at my testimony. I gave my testimony at worship lunch the last time I was there a few months back, and I am just convinced that the Lord took my father, or allowed my father to be took. I don't know the exact theology of that. I idolized my dad. If my dad would have saw me turn 18, I would still be in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I would, in all likelihood, outside of the Lord's working a miracle and getting me a preacher up there, which he could have done, I know he could, but in all likelihood, I would have followed my dad right to this trail of an alcoholic and just a wasted life. And so you see Tara dying here, and it gets Abraham going. There's still the problem of Lot here, which you see as we go forward. But Tara dies, and they go on. And I'm going to have to really throw the hammer down here. So you're just going to have to, if you're writing down notes, write them quick. I'm just going to have to go off my notes. I'm not going to be able to read any more from Genesis here. But in Genesis verses 4 through 5, Abraham takes charge and leaves like God told him. But he allows Lot to hang around, right? What are you allowing to hang around? It's exactly how the Bible words it. He allowed Lot to come with him. It didn't say he took Lot. Lot tagged along. What do you got tagging along? I don't know. It could be a lot of things. It could be something that's not even necessarily a sin. What do you got tagging along in your life that's slowing you down for the Lord Jesus Christ? Lot tags along. So they go and they get to Canaan, but there's still the problem of Lot. And it's the Bible says when they left Haran here, they had great possession. So God's still blessing, right? Romans 8:28. Even the hard times, God's working out for his good. He's going. Still got Lot. Genesis 12, verses 6 through 7, they get to the spot there. They arrive, and God speaks. They get there in the land of Canaan, and God says, this is it. This is the spot. This is what's yours. This is going to be yours and your seeds. And then Abraham makes a small move. He's still in the land of Canaan, just moves a little bit south. He's there between Bethel and Ai. And God, and Abraham builds an altar to the Lord, and nothing. God doesn't speak. Wonder why. Could it be because Lot's still there? We're still not fully obeyed, right? The commandments to leave your father's house, kindred, leave your country and leave your kindred. He's still got Lot. So more trouble comes in the form of a famine in verses 10 through 20. They wind up in Egypt. You know the story, all the mess of Abraham doubting the protection of God and he convinces Sarah to say that she's his sister and all that trouble. But they wind up leaving Egypt richer than they went to Egypt. Again, God bless them. Even in partial obedience. And that's a story, boys and girls. I say boys and girls, I'm usually talking to the teens at this time. Because you're just boys. But anyway, I'm used to preaching to junior church. Forgive me. Do you see that problem here? Still with Lot there and still having trouble trying to get God trying to get Lot out of him, trying to get him on his own, which is really a story of faith. Faith between you and God, you know. Much as I love Brother Dilbert and much as help as he is to me, it's got to be you and God. And I tell that to the kids a lot, to junior church kids and the teenage boys. This has got to become yours. You know, your parents may be dragging you right now, but it's not enough. It's got to be yours. You can't just be here because you like us. I hope you like us, but I mean, you need to be here because you want to follow the Lord and get to know the Lord, right? He still got Lot with him in this trouble. God blesses him through this trouble. They come back out. Abraham goes back up to between Bethel and Ai there, and back to where that altar was, and still nothing. Lot's still there, right? So what comes? More trouble. More trouble. In Genesis 13, 5 through 8, you got that strife between the herdmen of Abraham and the herdmen of Lot. And you look at trouble, and I know you go through it. I go through it every week, you know, just all the time something seems like. And you look at trouble and you dread trouble, but I'm telling you, sometimes that trouble's a blessing. I don't know if Abraham even knows what the problem is, right? And there's a lot of times in my Christian life I don't even know what the problem is. You know, there's been times where you're just digging and scratching and you're not hearing from God and you don't know what's going on. And sometimes he does that just to see if you come further. But sometimes he's trying to get you to get something out of your life. And in this case, trouble's here. It's going to get rid of Lot, right? That's the solution to this trouble. Abraham just tells Lot, let's look, we're brethren, let's not have problems here. You pick. You just look, survey the land. Go whichever way you want to go, I'll go the other way. And so that's what happens. Lot picks the plains there, Sodom and Gomorrah, goes down there. And then right after that, Genesis 13, 9 through 13, that's him moving away. And then in verse 14 to 18, God speaks. Just as soon as Lot's gone, then we have full obedience, right? He's alone. He's left the country of his father. He's went to the land of Canaan just like God had promised him. And then God speaks. God shows up and says, look around. As far as you can see in any direction, this is yours. And it's a longer message. It's a sweet fellowship in this case. Those first two or three times that God spoke to Abraham, they seem short to me. Maybe the Bible didn't record it all, I don't know, but they just seem short. And there's just something different about Genesis 13, 14 through 18 here, there where God is just like, God's with him now. Now that there's full obedience, there's full fellowship, and it's just sweet. And we got lots of Bible to back up this truth that partial obedience or light rejected. So partial obedience brings trouble, and light rejected becomes lightning. You know, I gave you three. I gave you prayer, Bible reading, and being the light of the world. That means being a witness for Jesus Christ. I gave you those things, and they all come from the Bible, right? Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And that is just the Christian with that thing right there, just, you know, in total darkness. And the only light is right there. Coming right out of this word of God, and he can just see his feet. Right? And if I'm neglecting my Bible, I have no idea that I'm standing at the edge of the platform. And my next step, you get some comic relief from the bad preaching. But with the word of God up here, I can see it. It's what it is, guys. That's an easy analogy, an easy picture there. That's what we're talking about. We teach the junior church kids this. We taught our kids this, the pledge to the Bible, right? I make it a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Hide it in my heart that I won't sin against God. And I referenced already 2 Peter 1:19, where he says that the Holy Scriptures, they're better than the very voice of God, which he heard on the Mount of Transfiguration. Proverbs 6:23, the Bible says, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. The reproofs of instructions are the way of life. I'm just going to close by just reminding you of Abraham offering up Isaac. Right now, I don't know where you're at right now. Sometimes I'm not sure I know where I'm at right now. I don't know where you're at right now, but I tell you where I want to be, and I tell you where you ought to want to be. You ought to want to be to the point where no matter what God puts on you, it's no sweat. Just like Abraham offering up Isaac. That's a stiff request, ladies and gentlemen. That's a stiff request. And by this point, Abraham just looks at that, and it's just nothing. Doesn't bat an eye. Let's be like Father Abraham. Let's take a break.